Welcome back to End is the Future, a podcast that brings together great minds to address the opportunities and challenges of making businesses both sustainable and profitable. I am Ilham Kadri, and I'm delighted to be your host today. If you are as passionate about sustainable business as I am, let's explore how End is the Future together. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm so happy to be speaking with KG Monjani, one of the world's top wheelchair tennis players. In fact, she is truly its number one in Africa and number four in the world. In 2018, she became the first Black South African woman to compete at Wimbledon. We are beyond proud to sponsor KG as she continues to do amazing things. This is a special episode because KG is sitting right here with me today on Solvay's campus to record this podcast and to meet and inspire our employees. KG, thank you very much for being here in Brussels with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. We are so honored and it happens you are also from South Africa, right? I love, I'm African born, but just in the opposite north. But when I visit Cape Town or South Africa, I feel like in my home in Morocco. And, you know, KG, I've started now out by sharing some bio information about you, but I'm curious, how would you describe yourself?
I'm pretty laid back. I'm very chilled. I'm very funny. So, I mean, beyond that, I'm an athlete. But other than that, I mean, as a person, I'm a very laid back person, very chilled, you know, very observant, you know. Yeah. So I like to really keep up with what's going on around the world, you know. So, yeah, beyond me being an athlete, I'm just someone who works around their own thoughts about the world. Yeah.
Are you inside out person? Or outside in?
Inside.
Inside. You go to deeper layers, don't you?
Yes, I'm an inside person, you know. But I love sharing myself with people other than me liking my own space. But I prefer to share myself with the people because I think I have a story to really inspire others. So that's why I believe it's really important of me to really share myself and not keep myself to myself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we started and we'll come back to this because I think we want you to inspire us and having read a lot about you, it's just inspiring on the paper, but I know it's going to touch the heart when we will hear it from you. You only started playing tennis at the age of 19, and yet you went on to become one of the greatest players, number one in South Africa, number one, four in the world. So record after record, tell us a bit more about that journey before we come back to you, to your upbringing. Was there a moment in your life that made you really excited about playing tennis and going to sport?
Look, I was into sports before tennis, to be honest. I was doing wheelchair basketball, table tennis. I was involved in athletics. Yeah. And when tennis came, I was not interested because obviously I was on the final year of high school. When they say, come and try tennis, I felt like, but no, I have so many things I'm doing already and I have to focus on my studies. I mean, it's important to pass your final year so that you can go to university. So I wasn't so keen, but they were not asking me if I would like to try, or they were just like, you are going to do this for the school. And that's how it started. I had no choice to say, no, I don't want to do it. But I normally say I ended up in tennis accidentally because that was never my choice. It was someone's choice. But what happened when I went to university the following year, I wanted to play sport. Yeah. Wheelchair tennis was the only sport for people with physical disabilities. So I sort of joined and be like, I'll just push time as I'm busy studying. But I was really convinced that you can play, try it out. If you don't like it, you can stop. But, you know, I fell in love with the challenges within the sport. And that's what really made me just carry on. And I was just like, I will just figure it out as time goes by. Yeah.
So you were skeptically intrigued, and then you jump into the train, and then you enjoy this, because that first season, if I remember, you went to the Netherlands, right? And they invited you again, right?
Yes, because I mean, I go there, I see these other kids playing so well, and I'm like, so I can actually be like them, you know. But, you know, that first year, it was just like, I was just happy to get into the airplane and, you know, be in a different country. And for me, I just saw it as an opportunity to really travel the world. I was like, oh, actually, if I stick to this, I might travel the world, you know. So, because I didn't know much about sport, I knew nothing about Grand Slams. I knew nothing about many more tournaments that they have. Yeah. So for me, I just thought, this is what we do. Get into the plane, go to a different country. Okay, I'm up for it. So that's how I saw it at the beginning, because I was still studying. So I didn't care much about it, to be honest.
Brilliant. But I mean, the caring is that you are wired for success. You want to do it, right?
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. Because I feel like it provided me with a huge opportunity that I would have never thought about as an individual. Because for me, before I played tennis, I've never seen it before. So for me, I just thought it was just another activity to do to push time. But actually, I grew to realize it was more than that. You know, like first time when I went to Grand Slam, I hear people talking about Serena Williams, Roger Federer. I started being curious, like, why are you guys making it a big deal? Who are these people?
Yeah.
So when I find out, that's when I realize actually what I'm doing, it's quite big. I need to take it serious.
Yeah.
So that's when I started being serious and having a goal that I'm going to, you know, strive for a better thing in this sport. Yeah.
And then it gets into training and hard work. By the way, you are the first Black South African woman to play Wimbledon. Was there a special feeling at that time when you get there? Or it's over already?
Look, at that particular moment in time, I knew nothing about that. For me, I was just excited to go play on grass. Whether I was the first one, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, after I win my first match, I start seeing all these things. And for me, at first I was like, do I get excited about this? Being the first, I was like, no, it's not really exciting. Actually, this is really shows opportunities that were denied before me. So I'm just going to take this as a moment of hope to my other fellow Black kids at home who wants to take up tennis as a sport. It's good that they had the first person who have done it. But for me, it's about seeing many more of them, because after so many years, the sport existed, then I became the first person to do it. Yeah, it's quite an achievement, but for me, it was just like actually shocking that for so many years, we haven't. Mind that I never knew about tennis, because I've never seen anyone that represent me playing the sport. So I just thought this is the moment where I really need to give it my best so that I can inspire hope to the upcoming ones so that they can know they can make it.
Yeah. What's a great wisdom, because often for minorities, women women of color, etc., and other minorities, it's always and it's traditional question, which actually I dared asking you, coming also myself from the minorities pool. How do you feel? And actually, you don't think about it this way. You just go there to perform and achieve and thrive. And that's what you are telling us, right?
Yes,
you know, I went there to enjoy the game on grass, and this is it. And you took it seriously, and you trained, you trained every day, hard work, right?
Yeah, because for me, I feel like if I knew before that I was going to be the first one, I don't know how I would have approached it, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that I didn't know, and when it happens and everyone saw it as an achievement, then it gave me a hope that, you know, as people of color, it means we're getting somewhere, you know, and that's what life is about.
Yeah.
We never had opportunities as people of color, but the more there's representation of us, the more that will open more doors, then more people will realize our existence, you know. So for me, I'm just grateful I didn't know about it, because then I wouldn't have known how it was going to go, or how I would have handled the whole moment.
Don't make your mind busy with things which are not counting for performance. And with all what's going on in the world, mental resilience has become a necessary trait to everyone to adopt, right? In sport, in business. And I think it's characteristic that athletes must adopt first and foremost. So there is probably much that we can learn from you, KG, in this respect. Could you please describe for us one of the toughest challenges, really tough? Maybe you felt it as a failure you have had to overcome in the world of tennis and other worlds, and what you learned from it.
Look, for me, my biggest challenge in tennis, it has always been, you know, the issue of funding or finances, because for me, I didn't know how much tennis is demanding financially. I personally, when I started, I just thought it's nice that I'm going to a tree, but I didn't know how much it goes into that until it was my own challenge when they say, we don't have money to fund you. And I'm like, actually, how much it is to just even get to the tournament? Yeah. And when you realize and you hear all those amounts, and I'm like, actually, I can't afford to play the sport. But what do I do? Do I quit?
Yeah.
Or do I seek for alternatives to keep playing? And that's when I realized that I spent most of my youth years in the sport. So the least I can do is make it possible. So I went out looking for help, hoping someone can come through and assist me. And people came through. And it just made me realize how tough it actually is to actually decide between quitting something that you love and carrying on.
Yeah.
So for me, giving up wasn't an alternative, like I said. Going to Wimbledon, being the first one, I felt like there was a responsibility for me to keep doing this so that I can inspire others. So I'm just grateful that mentally I managed to come up with a better solution instead of giving up or quitting, because that is not always the solution.
Yeah.
You know, so there's just so many alternative solutions out there that you can look for other than just giving up and feeling like it's impossible. So I believe we live in the world of possibilities. Something always has to give in. It doesn't matter what challenge you're in. If you just sleep on it and think thoroughly about it, something will give in. There's always a solution. There's always a possibility. That's what I believe. Being in this sport with lack of support and finding myself being supported by a company in Belgium, for me, that's a win. It's me saying to an African child that it's possible. We live in the world of possibilities. And as an athlete, I would like to think and wish me being part of Solvay, my story can inspire the employees, you know, realizing that coming from nothing doesn't really determine your destiny. So that's just me. I hope my story inspires them and motivate them to realize that you are not being defined by what you go through, you know.
Wow, goosebumps. No. You know, you are inspiring, you are a role model, and I'm sure all the audience who are all fans, world of possibilities, right? Perseverance, go after your dreams, right? And as you said, at one point of time, you feel it's a responsibility. I need to do it, not only for me, but for the others. And if I can do it, you are hoping that others can, you know, around you in South Africa and beyond can also do it. What's a lesson?
Yeah, that definitely. Because, you know, at some point in life, some people have to be sacrificial lambs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From the country where I'm coming from, with our history, people have to be sacrificed for us to get democracy.
Absolutely.
So I feel like I'm in the same shoes, being in this sport that is not so popular in the community that I come from. So I cannot be chasing a dream to become, you know, a sports minister, or while there are people who really need to be inspired to really take it up, simply because from the community that I come from or the villages where I come from, we've never had anything like that. We never had facilities. So if there's someone who's going to sacrifice their own life, it has to be me. Because already I've got an opportunity to be there. So I have to make it work for the next generation. So I just feel like some of us are going to be sacrificial, but it's for the good cause. As long as it's for the good cause, I don't see why not do it. So sometimes we're not only responsible for our own lives, but for others too. Yeah.
What's great, sense of belonging. And you regularly overcome challenges on the court, but talk to us about some challenges you have had to overcome off the court. What should we learn from your experiences?
Oh, What you should learn from my experience is, I think, just being able to carry on a positive mentality, you know, because when you're positive, I believe you can overcome everything. Because, you know, off court, yeah, sometimes you think, yeah, I'm not playing. How am I going to pay my bills? You know, but, yeah. You know, I grew up in a big family.
Yeah.
We used to just share a loaf of bread, you know, you realize that actually, you know what, life is just much bigger than having a decent meal in a restaurant, you know. So whatever you can feed your stomach, it works. So those things, I think, they really, really help me, you know, keep going as a person. So the positive attitude towards life, I think that's what really carries me to be able to deal with off-court, you know, challenges.
Yeah. So you stay always rooted, right? With your, you know, grounded and rooted in from where you are coming, although you are opening up to a world full of resources, right, when you travel, I guess.
It's important to be grounded, to be honest. I feel like it's really, really important. If your struggle didn't teach you anything, you wouldn't appreciate more.
Absolutely.
But when your struggle taught you a lot, you're going to appreciate more. It doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. So you just learn to really appreciate. So, and yeah, that keeps me really grounded because I know how tough it is to really have nothing. And when you have everything, you still like, no, guys, we have to share. This is too much. And people feel like, no, it's not too much. It's like, yeah, but you have to share so that you can inspire a belief in someone. So it's just who I am. I just feel like my struggles really keep me grounded.
Wow. This is a great lesson again, sharing the wisdom, sharing the resources, etc., with others. The sense of belonging is very strong. So based in KG on your experiences, do you find, you know, the world of sport to be diverse, equitable and inclusive? And what could business learn from your experience?
I think it's getting better in sports when looking at, you know, diversity and equity and equality. I think it's getting better. I believe the world of business, they need to realize mostly when coming to diversity, we might be different as people. Like if you have people here in Solvay, the most important thing, you guys are working towards a goal. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman, you're a man, or you're a woman of color. You guys are working towards the same goal. And for me, that's what's really important, that we shouldn't overlook each other because you're a man, you're a woman. And that's what happens in sports. When we fight for an equal pay, when it happens, everyone get paid the same way. There's nothing like here, but women this, men this. No, so I think that's something that could be learned from by companies from sports.
Yeah,
that unity, it just brings everything together and it makes everything happens. So I just feel like that's one thing that the companies can learn from sports.
Yeah. No, definitely. And in business, there is still a long way to go, including finding a pipeline and what you said about inspiring youth and other people from your country, but also in the disability area and the gender and bringing them to the industry is so critical. And we are missing this pipeline. So it's my duty to also build that pipeline for the future. You started inspiring us, including me, from the first seconds you start talking. What would you say to young people at Solvay or outside Solvay, right? I mean, you know that the youth, they are facing their own crisis, be it the identity crisis, the climate change, right? The urgency of leaving them a world, you know, full of resources. They can unleash their own potential. What would you tell to the youth South Africa and beyond?
Yeah, what I can tell to the youth is just dreams don't come true through magic. You know, you need to have the ability to work towards what you believe in. So work towards your dream and you can achieve it. Because, they don't come true through magic. We don't live in a magical world.
Yeah.
We make things happen as individuals. So for whatever they believe in, they need to just keep working towards it because there's a possibility at the end.
Yeah. So, hard work again. It's not always easy and we are not here because it's easy, but we can do it. You started the Montiani Sports Development Foundation to help rural kids have access to facilities to play sports, which is amazing. This is how I see how you are obsessed by living in impact and helping, giving back. That's what you said. It's nice for me to go outside, but I'm here also to give back. And it's amazing to see it for a young, talented lady like you. Can you tell us more about the foundation?
Yeah, I mean, about the foundation, for me, it's like opportunity denied to me. It shouldn't be the opportunity denied to the next generation. So where I come from, we never had facilities. And that's why we've never got interested in playing sports like tennis. So for me, it's about going back and, you know, erecting all those facilities to give everyone an opportunity to actually play sports, whatever sports they really want to play in. So for me, that's really, really important. And bringing facilities like that in villages where I come from, you know, it's not only going to inspire hope, but it's going to really educate people about the world. Because when we are out there, we don't see the real world. We think these villages are what we have, but the world is beyond that. So with the foundation, for me, is to be able to bring the real world to them, because I didn't have those opportunities back in the days. So I don't see why I shouldn't, you know, share and give back and let them be able to decide what they want for their own future.
What's leadership? That's what we call it at Solvay. You are a true leader. You know, through my career as a businesswoman, trying to bring diversity, equality, and inclusion into the companies I worked for or I led through transformations and succeeded even financially, I always, when I look back, I always discovered that I failed in one thing, is to make diversity stick in. And when I left, even if it was a bit there, it just, you know, phased out for different reasons. And at Solvay, we are trying something unique these days, is to bring the inclusion at the heart of it, or rather, because diversity statistic is what you see, inclusion is what you do. Yeah. And when I read your bio, and I tried to immerse myself in your world before meeting you, obviously, I realized when you said that at the beginning, when you were a toddler and at school, was very tough for you, right? To really engage with the kids who were rather not willing to play with you, etc., till you find that school where you felt, wow, this is where I can now be myself, bring my whole self. And then you started really, you know, probably growing in a very stable way. Can you tell us more about that? And is that inclusion? Is that something like this? Help us understand.
I mean, the issue of inclusion, it's quite a tough one, because for someone with disability, you always feel like it's like you're fighting for your position in the world.
Yeah.
And you already exist in the world. So for me as a kid, I never used to understand why other kids can't play with me, but I grew to understand that I wasn't fast enough for them, because, you know, limping around.
Yeah.
But just imagine if you were to educate people across the world about inclusion, the difference that will make, that, like you were saying about diversity, it's not all about statistics.
No.
We need to see it happening.
Absolutely.
And I'm grateful in sports, mostly in tennis.
Yeah.
We play in Grand Slams together with the able body. We've been treated the same way.
Yeah, you are on the podium, right?
You know?
You're at the top.
Yeah. Exactly. For me, that's progress. You know, that's what we mean by inclusion. It's just not about hitting the numbers, like, just create a position there for them, but make them part of it. Because as people with disability, we are as capable as anyone else. I mean, it's just a disability. It's just a condition, you know. It doesn't take away your intellect, your ability. It's just a condition that you live with. So if the world can understand that we just have conditions, but that doesn't really mean we don't have talents, abilities. All we need is just to be given the platform that everyone gets without being seen as people with conditions. We just want to exist, because like everyone else exists in this world. When I look at you, I don't be like, but you can't because you are on heels. No, the first thing when I see you, I see a human being. That's how we want to be seen as people with disabilities. When you see me like any other person that you see. And then that will be inclusion. But yeah, we really want to see it. We don't want to write about it. We don't want to sit here and chat about it. Yeah. You know, I want to come to Solvay and be like, ah, you know, our next HR person, you know, it's someone in a wheelchair. I mean, I should be shocked when I see like, oh, so actually your HR person is someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So that's action plan.
Yeah.
So I just feel like we've been talking quite a lot about things like inclusion. I think it's about time we see implementation, we see action plan, because as much as we have disabilities, we are human after all.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful testimonial. You are giving us, see me as a human being.
Yeah.
And that's what at Solvay we are trying to, because to unleash the potential of a company is about unleashing the potential of each one of us.
Definitely.
And our uniqueness differences are our strengths. So we are inviting our people to bring their whole selves. But you know, what took us here will not bring us there. So we're still working on this inclusive, you know, organization and across the board, to really, work on this even more. What do you most enjoy doing off the court? What are your hobbies apart training and working hard?
I read quite a lot. I mean music. I love music.
Yeah, but which instruments?
I just do it for myself. So like I make beats. Could be house music. It could be hip hop. Could be R&B. But I do it for me because I just have, like I said, I'm an inside. I'm an indoor person. So when I'm with
Are you part of a band or you do it by your own?
It's actually a good thing to do as I travel because I'm on long flights all the time.
Yeah.
So if I'm bored in a flight, I'll try, you know, put something together. But I just do it for fun. So
that's great.
For me, reading, making music, you know, playing a lot of TV games. But most importantly, spending time with family as much as I could because I'm always away.
These are
things I enjoy.
So the bonding and the sense of, belonging is important. Well, KG, I can go on for other hours, right, like this. Thank you again for sharing your story and experiences with us and providing so much inspiration. There is much we can learn about being so focused and resilient, being both humble and ambitious, and in both accepting and celebrating that which makes each of us unique.
You are a fighter, trailblazer, and a shining example of overcoming challenges and inequity. I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. For more information or to listen to other episodes, visit our website. And if you like these podcasts, don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, be safe.